So this morning we're going to look at the goodness of God in the same theme. Look at all these little kids, they're so awesome. Turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 100. Psalm chapter 100. Five short verses, two short hours. Let's get going. Yep. Psalm 100. This has a really wonderful theme, a literary theme to it that we will see as we go through these five verses. Verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands, or all the earth. Everybody who lives on land. How many people live on land? Everyone lives on land here? All right, so that means us, right? All of us. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. And we're not exactly sure what we should be shouting about yet, but just in preparation, how many went to a ball game this last week? All right. How many wish we had a good team to watch where we would be able to go this week? Hey, that's enough of that. How about, I can't use the football team either, can I? Your favorite football team? How about soccer? Can we say football? Who's soccer? Why is it, and for you sports people that don't like sports, I'm going to use some analogies here, like the bottom of the ninth inning where there's two outs and your home team is like on the cusp of winning. And they pull out a win, and at the end of the ninth inning, what do you generally do? I remember when the Vikings beat the New Orleans Saints on a miracle throw. I was so happy. I'm a Vikings fan. And that last play, I was sitting next to Mike, and he's like, we're going to lose, we're going to lose, we're going to lose, we're going to lose. And I'm like, we're going to win, we're going to do this, we can do this. Like, we're going to lose, we're going to lose. He's got a pouty face sitting there on the couch. We're going to lose, we're going to lose. I'm like, we're going to win. And what happens when the miracle throw, the dude, like, catches it, touchdown, we win, we go to the playoffs. There is, like, exuberance that goes on at that moment. I wasn't sure if I was saved or not because I was so involved with the Vikings. I didn't even know if I was married. I didn't know anything, but go Vikings, we won. Have you had those experiences where you're just like so exuberant? And then when it comes to church, we're reverent is the word I would like to use. We're reverent. We are shouting from the inside. Oh, but I would not want to be labeled as anyone with hands up or charismatic or charismaniac. So therefore, I'll put my hands in my pocket and I will shout from the inside, but certainly not from the outside. Here the author, now remember Psalm 100. The other verses won't take nearly this long. This is just fun. Psalm 100 is written during a time when the nation of Israel was in exile. Remember last week? Psalm 100, the nation was in exile, and oh, what they would give to gather together and shout to the Lord. Maybe some of those moments of shouting to the Lord don't happen in your life just simply because you take God for granted. Because you take him, he's here. We're sort of in an evangelical Christian community. You know, it's still okay to worship God. It's still okay to come to church. And we sort of get lulled to sleep a little bit about how awesome it is that God saved us. And we should be like shouting joyfully to the Lord for what he's done. Do I dare ask you to like shout right now for joy? Anything that comes to mind, we're going to look through the text and see more characteristics. But right now, off the top of your head, I'll give you 5 seconds to think about. Off the top of your head, what is the number one character quality that you love about God? For me, it's forgiveness. Absolute forgiveness. Forgiveness of sin. So I'm going to shout that. Shout. And if it's not loud enough, I'm going to, this little baby, I'll be very careful. Shout, but go ahead and shout. Like, he's prepared. He's ready, okay? Shout the character quality of God that you, right now in this moment, love the best. I'm going to give you 5 seconds to think about it. I'm going to go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then you're going to shout that. Shout praises to the Lord. Ready? 5, four, three, two, one. Forgiveness of sins. Oh, isn't that awesome? Oh, my goodness. That's so awesome. That's what God loves to hear when we shout praises to his name, all you lands. Verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. This word serve literally in the Hebrew is the word worship. It's the same word in Genesis 2:15 where God tells Adam to serve and tend, to tend and to keep. That word tend is to worship as well. He wants us to worship him. Serve the Lord, that is to worship the Lord. Why is the translation serve instead of worship, if worship is really the word here in verse 2? One of the reasons why is it's the outpouring of what worship is. Outpouring of worship means there must be an act of service that takes place. I mean, if some of y'all like worship your car, what do you do to it? I mean, not worship like it's your God. I hope not. All right, but if you quote like small w, worship your car, you value, you put high value in your vehicle, what do? You take care of it. You wash it like every other day. You do the oil change. You do whatever's necessary. And that's about all I know about cars. I'm going to stop there. All right? If you worship your spouse, again, small worship, not that your spouse is your God, right? Okay. Just talking to the newlyweds here just for a second. Like, you don't worship. But as you sort of worship, small w, right, your spouse, what do? You serve him or her, right? There's things that you do. There's things that you go out of your way. If you love your parents, if you worship your parents, as it were, right? You want to honor them. You want to do things that please them, right? So the idea of serving isn't really that bad of a translation, although it gets us away from the idea of worship. But worship always includes then service to the Lord and with a heart of gladness. We don't do it because we're mopey. It's like, oh, God wants us to serve us today. Here we go again. Here we go, just worshiping the Lord. Whatever. No, I mean, gladness, right? With gladness. So we make a joyful shout. We gladly worship the Lord. End of verse 2 says, come before his presence with singing. Come before his presence. Okay, translation. Literally, it says, enter into his face. Isn't that just a weird translation? No wonder they say, come into his presence. Because I think we would read that in the Hebrew and go, enter into God's face. Like, hey, come on in. You know, enter into God's face is the literal translation. When you come before his presence, you are literally entering into the face of God. You're like literally face to face with God. When you talk, when you pray, when you sing songs, do you feel like you're face to face with God? You are face to face with him when you're singing these wonderful songs. Face to face, right here. He's right here in your grill. Isn't that awesome? God, I thank you. I love you. I worship you. I want to serve you. It's like talking to a friend, except he's a holy God who's pure and righteous and so many other amazing things. So come before him and sing your socks off to him. Sing a joyful sound to the Lord. He's so worthy. Make a joyful shout. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him. Enter his face. Sing to him as if he were face to face. And then the center, the luscious, gooey center of this. Know this. Make a joyful shout. Come before his presence. Serve and worship the Lord. And know that the Lord, he is God. Why? Do we make a joyful shout? What's the purpose of serving? What's the purpose of entering into his face? It's because he's God and worthy to be worshiped, worthy to be praised, worthy to be thanked. He is God. But not only does it say he is God, it is he who made us and not we ourselves. You did not make yourself. God made you. Therefore, we cannot make ourselves. So God is our creator. He is our God. He is our creator. And then the last part of verse 3 about knowing the Lord is that we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Not only is he God, not only is he our creator who made us, he's our shepherd who saves us. He's the great shepherd who rescues us. Know this, the one we worship, the one we sing, the one we joyfully shout to is God himself, who is worthy to be worshipped because he's the creator and he's the sustainer of our lives, the savior of our lives, the rescuer, the shepherd of us sheep. Now, the parallel comes back at it in verse 2. We see, enter into his face with singing. Enter into his presence with singing. Now, in verse 4, he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. You see the parallel? Enter into his face with singing. And now the author says, enter into his gates and his courts with thanksgiving and praise. Two analogies to that. One, his gates and his courts would mean probably church, right? Enter into his gates, enter into his courts with thanksgiving. That is, come to church and be thankful. And of course, the timeline again, they are in captivity for 70 years. Oh, they couldn't wait to get back into the land in which they could set up a church. They didn't have a church building in Babylon when they were in exile. So they couldn't wait for the day. They could get together in a little small group, but they couldn't wait for the day to have a large gathering like this to be able to simply enter into his gates and his courts with thanksgiving and praise. Certainly, enter into his presence with thanksgiving and praise makes perfectly sense as well. Because when we're gathered as an assembly like this, while we're, quote, going to church, we are church in which we express to God's face thanksgiving and praise. So enter into his courts and his house, as it were, his gates, is also reminiscent of simply entering into his presence with thanksgiving and praise. And thereby, verse 2, singing. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and praise. That word thanksgiving, the Hebrew word is todah, which is just simply thank you. Thank you. Oh, a heart of thankfulness is so needed in a world that's so angry right now. Thank you. Wouldn't it be cool this week if you could just on your Facebook page or Twitter or Instagram or whatever, Snapchat, hey, thank you, and you could just say thank you about something this week, every day. Could you do that? Things to be thankful for. I know life is weird. Life is scary. Life is tumultuous. But a heart of thankfulness? Absolutely. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, and be thankful to him. He says thankful twice. It's a different Hebrew word, though. The actual word here is the idea of gladly confessing the character of God. To thank God in this Hebrew word is the idea of gladly confessing his character. Gladly just confess, not confessing sin like, oh God, I did this wrong, this wrong, this wrong. That's not confession. That's Catholic confession. Biblical confession is simply acknowledging who God is. We are confessing. We are saying, God, you're right, I'm not. God, your character is what I want to be, not mine. God, your holiness is what I long for, not my self-righteousness. So the idea of be thankful to him is just gladly worshiping and confessing his character with thankfulness, with joy. And verse 4, bless his name. Joyfully declare is the idea of blessing. To joyfully declare and praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. You know that song? He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Yeah. Praise the name of Jesus. Gladly, joyfully declare his name. You love the outline? It's pretty awesome. Joyfully shout to the Lord. Joyfully declare his name. Worship the Lord with gladness. Worship and confess the Lord with thankfulness. Enter into his presence with singing. Enter into his presence with thanksgiving and praise. And know that he's God. He made you. He created you. He sustains you. He gives you life. He saves you. And verse 5, lest we forget verse 5, 4. 4. Not just a golfing term. 4. He is good. Why should we praise God? Why should we worship God? Why should we sing to God? Why should we desire to continue to know God, our Savior? Why should we continue to know God, our Creator? Why should we thank God? Because he is good. It's because he's good. The VBS folks learned all about that this week. Ready for this? When life is unfair. Let's hear you again. When life is unfair. When life is scary. What? When life is scary. There you go. When life changes. Oh, even the hand gestures. That's not a mad hand. That's a good one, right? And then there's the jersey thing, right? I don't know that one. When life is sad.
Fire.
Say it again. When life is sad.
Fire.
Come on. Life is good.
Fire.
No matter what stages you go through in life, guess what? God is good. Life is wild. But God is good. You know that word good, tov, is just what? Good. It just means good. It's the same word today you use for boker tov, good morning, in Hebrew. It just means good. Everyone knows what that means. It's just good. It's good to give praise to God. It's so good to be in His house. It's so good to be with one another in fellowship. It's just good, and that's who God is. He's good. But not only is He good, it says in verse 5, His mercy is everlasting. God is good, and His mercy is everlasting. Mercy is very challenging, and this word is the word chesed. Everyone say chesed. Oh, you're either good Germans or you're good Hebrews. Chesed, right? Ha, chesed. Yes, spit all you want is perfect. Chesed. Chesed is one of the most beautiful words in the Old Testament. It's translated over 40 different ways in the Old Testament because there's not one word to describe chesed, mercy, love. Grace is the best translation of the word chesed. Grace, simply all of the amazing characteristics of God wrapped into one singular word. When we say God is full of grace, oh, we totally understand what that means. He's good, He's compassionate, He's loving, He's kind, He shows mercy. Mercy, simply put, is God feels so sorry for your sinful state, He's willing to do anything for it. That's what mercy is. Mercy is not God not giving you what you deserve. That's not the word for mercy. Mercy is God feels so sorry that you're stuck in that state you are. He'll do anything to rescue you out of it. God, rich in His mercy for you, did something about it. That's how much He loves and cares for you. Nothing wrong to call it loving. God is merciful. God is loving. God will do anything and everything to rescue you out of your despair. Loyal love is another translation for chesed, which is so good. He's so loyal to you. He's so faithful. When people let us down, God never lets us down. He's so loyal. He's so compassionate. And it's everlasting, right? His mercy is everlasting. Your love never fails, never runs out on me, right? Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me, right? Isn't that awesome? Never fails. Love never fails because His love is everlasting. Not only is God good, not only is God loving, lastly, His truth endures to all generations. He's truthful. He's truth. We can rely on His goodness. We can rely on His love because He's for real. He's truth. If God is a God of truth, then He is a good God. And He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. He's a loving God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The truth only comes by and through God and through His word, in which we know what real truth is. And when we see the truth of God, we understand the context now about His goodness and about how compassionate He really is. He is truth. The word also denotes faithfulness. Not only is God by nature truth, but God by His nature is called faithful. Faithful. Over 180 times in the Old and New Testament, the word faithful is used. 180 times in 66 books, faithful or faithfulness is used. And that's not including faith. That means He is reliable. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. He is good. He's loving. He's full of truth. And he's so full of faithfulness to every generation. God is so good. He's so loving. He's so full of truth and so faithful. He is God. He created us. He saved us. So we should make a joyful shout, serve the Lord, worship the Lord with gladness and thanksgiving, and just enter into his face with praise. Let's stand and let's pray. Lord, thank you for this short little five-verse message. Goodness, your word is awesome. Your word is so full of truth because you are full of truth, God. Everything we read in these scriptures is so right, so real, nothing we can deny. Thank you, God, for the wonderful history here of this section. When people were at their wits' end, they didn't know what to do, they were confused, but at the end, the pastors of the day said, I know you're not in the land you should, but let's worship the Lord. Let's shout joyfully to the Lord. Let's enter into his presence right now. Yeah, we're not going to be in the tabernacle or the temple. Oh, but let's just enter into his praises right now. Lord, as we conclude this service, if there's people that are just in tumultuous times, scary times, afraid times, dark times, may they recognize the truthful God that you are good, that you are loving. Sometimes at face value, we have to admit, God, sometimes it doesn't feel like you're good. Oh, but you are. Help us see that you're working all of that sin and sinfulness of our own lives and of this world for your good, because you are good. Nothing gets past you. You're going to use all things for your good. We praise you today. You are a good, good Father. You're good. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. We joyfully shout to you in Christ's name. Amen. Let's sing.